Hello, everyone. Welcome to Inside the Studio on iHeartRadio. My name is Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. My guest today laid it all out there with her new EP, Young Life Crisis. It's her musical journey of self-discovery and self-acceptance over the course of 6 songs steeped in an intoxicating blend of vulnerability and swagger. When you're not streaming her music, you can also find her on YouTube, where she dissects her songs piece by piece in an amazing series called Stripped. And of course, like so many of us during lockdown, she's on TikTok, where her clips have earned the attention of millions, including a special shout-out from Lizzo. I'm so happy to welcome Upsaw.
Thanks for having me. I'm stoked to be here.
So you just released an EP called Young Life Crisis, which is probably the most perfect 2020 title I can imagine. You've said that the first song you wrote for this EP was Fake Bitch, and the last song you wrote was Young Life Crisis, the title track. That seems like a hell of a journey between those two songs, just from the titles alone. Can you tell me a little bit about the journey of this EP and where it came from?
Yeah, it was quite the emotional roller coaster for sure. I started writing the EP in quarantine pretty much. Like I was on tour in March at the beginning of 2020 and then got sent home from tour and just kind of like went back home to like hang with my parents. I was like, oh, this will take like 2 weeks for this COVID shit to die down. Like I'm just gonna just like make music here for a few. And then however many months later, like 5-6 months later, I'm still in Arizona with an EP now. So it's like, I kind of just started doing writing sessions over Zoom, and without really realizing it, I was accidentally like narrating the Young Life Crisis that I had in 2020, because songwriting was very just like therapeutic for me. So I was just kind of writing about how I was feeling so out of control and like I was such a mess. And I don't know, the whole EP was pretty much just like what was going on in my head in 2020.
When you write from such a personal place like you do the lyrics come after the fact, sort of after you figured it all out in your mind? Or is it almost like free associating? You write it all down and then you make sense of it later and you think, oh my gosh, This is where I'm at right now.
That's a cool question. Yeah, I think it goes hand in hand. I feel like I use songwriting as a way to work through my issues, which probably isn't healthy. I should probably like go to therapy instead. But
you don't want to mess with the songs. Yeah,
yeah, right. I'm like, it's good for the content. But yeah, no, I'll definitely like step out of writing a song and be like, oh, so like that's how I'm feeling. Like with the title track, Young Life Crisis, I remember it was the last song that I was writing for the EP, and I had all the other 4 songs picked, and I was kind of trying to find like what is the consistency, like what is the overarching thing. Yeah. And I remember like I was in a session with this producer, Dwilly, on Zoom, and I was talking about, I was just kind of listing off all my life issues. And I was like, I think it'd be cool if we had a verse that was like listing off all my problems. And then he just was like, it sounds like you're having a young life crisis. And then that was kind of just like the light bulb moment where I realized that I in fact was having a young life crisis. And that was the title of my EP. It was just this big like moment for me. So yeah, songwriting definitely helps me like process my feelings for sure.
What is the Zoom songwriting sessions been like for you? Has that been a weird adjustment or has it been pretty easy?
It's been weird. At the beginning of quarantine, for a solid few days, I was like, you will never catch me on a Zoom. That's so weird. I'll only write in the studio. Then once I realized that I would really only have the option to work on Zoom for much longer than I expected, I just started working with the producers that I already love and know from working with in the past, and kind of fell in love with it. Like it's totally different. I feel like it's an added layer of like communication skills, because you're not like in the room to like feel each other's energy, and songwriting is so much about energy. So that's been interesting, but I feel like, I don't know, I've gone into a fun groove with it. I've gotten to write for other artists on Zoom. I wrote the whole EP on Zoom. So I don't know, I kind of dig it now.
How's it been from a creative standpoint being back home with your parents in Arizona? I went home and stayed with my folks for a while too. Just being back in like my childhood space and just around my parents, it puts you in a weird mindset. Did that sort of come through at all? How was that for you? Was it nostalgic? Was it getting back to your musical basics in a way, or...
I think it was a little bit of everything. like positive and negative for sure. It is so weird being in your childhood bedroom as an adult, because you're like, what is it's so strange. And like my childhood bedroom is now like a guest room, so it's not even like, it doesn't have like the cute shit from when I was a kid. Yeah, it was cool. I think it definitely brought me back to like my musical roots. We had a band room in the house, so getting to like jam with my dad now during quarantine, and that was like something I did growing up with him, so that was really cool. I think getting to like record all my own vocals for the EP in my childhood bedroom was just something that was kind of like a full circle moment for me, which I thought was fun. But it is a weird energy. I think being home was amazing, and I think a lot of people got to spend way more time with their families than they were expecting to last year, and I loved it. But it also kind of sent me into a spiral some days, you know?
You wrote the song People I Don't Like, one of my favorite tracks, during Grammys Week in LA last year. I wanted to know, is there a correlation between Grammys Week in LA and that song?
Of course, yes. yeah, that was kind of my first a proper Grammy Week experience of, you know, hopping around to all the industry parties. And I just quickly realized, I was just kind of observing, and I was also a little tipsy because like, what else are you gonna do with these things? And just realized I was reintroducing myself to the same people like every day. And we would all just be like, yeah, we should all totally get drinks, like knowing damn well that was never gonna really happen with half these people. And I was coming from one of the parties into a session a little drunk, ranting about like, why does everyone go to these things? Like, no one wants to be there. Like, you can tell, like, everyone's just like going through the motions. And I was like, everyone at these parties are so fake. Then my co-writers, Will J and Johnny Short, were like, Taylor, you went to the parties too. Like, you're part of the problem. And so then we just turned it into a song about the people I don't like, including myself. Yeah, it was very fun.
So this would have been around early 2020. And you said that around that time you were going through, I think to use your words, like a musical identity crisis in a way. Why was that? Where did that come from?
I don't know. I think I'm still so young. I mean, I just turned 22. So I feel like November 28th.
Oh, I'm December 22nd.
Oh, let's go. Wait, what's your sign then? You're not a Sagittarius, right?
I'm a Sag Cap Cusp. I'm on the day, which I'm told means nothing, but Capricorn. Oh, word.
I just had an astrology reading recently and have never been into astrology until now. I'm like, oh, I'm such a Sag just from this like 1 hour of reading. yeah, it was great. Oh, sorry. What was the question?
So this musical identity crisis at the beginning of last year, where did that come from for you? And how'd you get out of it?
Yeah, I think being so young and making music every single day, my life emotionally is such a roller coaster. So my music is changing on the daily, and some days I'll write a song that is produced in a way that I won't like a week from now, you know? So it's like when I just started putting out some songs that I was really hype about in the moment, and then once they came out, I was like, this isn't who I am now. Like, I need to figure out how to like meet in the middle with my writing and like what I'm releasing. And it wasn't even a super negative experience. It was actually like pretty dope. I was just kind of like, oh, I just need to figure myself out. And now I feel like, honestly, it kind of started with writing People I Don't Like and starting to work with Johnny Shore and Will J, all these people I work with a bunch, that kind of established this like sound that later on became the Young Life Crisis EP. And I think getting to work over Zoom, honestly, and being more involved in production has been something that's been really exciting for me and like helped me get out of that identity crisis for sure.
It must be hard because on one hand, you want to keep some level of consistency in your music for, you know, for the sake of the brand. You want to carve out your lane, but you also want to give yourself freedom to explore and not hem yourself in. Is that a challenge, kind of rationalizing those two?
Yeah, I think for a while I was always stressing about that. And then now I feel like the way that music is, and especially pop music, like you listen to the radio and there's no sound anymore. Like everyone's just making cool music. And that's such a cool place to be in right now. It's like everyone is just genre bending left and right, which I love. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like as long as the song or the sound or the lyrics just feel authentic to you as an artist, you can do whatever you want and people are going to buy it. I feel like people can tell when your stuff is like inauthentic, you know? So as long as you love it, I feel like other people will love it, you know?
Things that I hear artists say is one of the most important things is just, you know, listening to your gut and trying to just tune everything else out and listen to what you really think is the way to go. Is that hard to do? How do you find sort of the bravery and single-mindedness to follow that voice sometimes?
Yeah, it's hard to do, especially because I'm still so young and I still like question myself. I'm like, well, I love this right now, but like, is that the right thing to do or to believe in? Like, I don't know. But I think, yeah, just especially doing music, I have to remind myself like fans and people who listen to your music and like live and breathe it, like they want that kind of like fearlessness, you know? And it's like, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of what inspires me to just do whatever the fuck I want, which is really fun. It's cool.
I love the music video for Money on My Mind, and it had that Fight Club edge. How was it like acting with yourself?
It was very fun. It was weird just like having to stare at an empty chair and pretend it was me. That video was very fun. We filmed it in the middle of the night in this warehouse in LA. So I was very delirious. And I feel like that energy was very Tyler Durden for me. It was very fun. That music video, I was really stoked with how that turned out.
How did you land on the Fight Club angle?
It was funny because I've been working with this music video director like on all the Young Life Crisis visuals, George, and in a couple weeks before he sent in a treatment with his idea for the music video, I had seen Fight Club for the first time ever, which is so embarrassing that I hadn't seen it until I was 21, but whatever. And was obsessed with it. I watched it like 4 times in a row in like the span of a couple days because I was obsessed with it. And then George hits me. He's like, okay, I don't know if this is crazy, but what about like a Fight Club vibe? And I was like, you just read my mind. Like, I just saw it. I'm obsessed with it. Let's do it. And so, yeah, we just kind of tag teamed it and made it happen. Yeah, it was fun.
Aside from watching Fight Club multiple times and writing the EP, what else has been helping you through the last 9 months or so?
I quickly realized in quarantine, I was like, I need to find other hobbies that aren't music or going out to restaurants because I'm gonna be miserable if I don't. So I started like painting. I've been trying to try some new hobbies. I tried surfing, skateboarding.
That's awesome.
Yeah, some skydiving. I don't know. I'm just trying to like try new exciting
casual
things.
Casual skydiving?
You know, casual, yeah. I don't know. I've been just trying to do whatever to just kind of escape from music. You know, now that it's my job, sometimes it's nice to like take a break from it for a sec.
How did you wind up skydiving? That I can't even imagine. Like, you know, when you're so afraid that you can hear your own heartbeat, just like that's just even thinking about doing that right now is where I'm at. So how was that like?
It was pretty rad. Yeah, I think there's a moment where you're in like the really long, horrible, stressful plane ride up before you even jump, which is horrible. But then this, once you're up there and they're like, we're gonna jump in a couple minutes, you reach this like moment of peace where you're like, sick, I either will live or die. I have no control over it. So I'm just gonna enjoy jumping out of this plane right now. And it's the most like inspiring thing. I also am so cheesy and like spiritual with it where I'm like, I'm leaving all my negative energy like when I jump out of this plane. And it's really rad. I really want to get my skydiver's license, so I'll keep
you
posted.
Oh, wow, so you're serious about it.
But yeah, it's very fun. I've only done it a couple times, but I highly recommend trying it.
It must
very,
be just
very
the
fun.
Ultimate case of just letting go. I mean, somebody is just, you know, especially, I imagine, being an artist, too, and you really want to, like, have some level of control over your art and what you're doing and everything. Just the moment of finally, it's like, no, I'm letting go, I release, is got to be really, really liberating. Mm-hmm.
It's powerful. Yeah, it's cool, for sure.
What have you been listening to during lockdown, during quarantine? Because I don't know about you, but I've been returning to songs that I haven't been listening to since I was a teenager, just like musical comfort food. Have you been feeling that way?
Same. That's funny. I thought I was crazy and boring for listening to like all the stuff I grew up listening to. Yeah, I mean, I've been listening to a lot of like Frank Ocean and SZA and like all the sad girl stuff, like Bon Iver and all that. But I've also been getting back to a bunch of No Doubt, which I grew up listening to, like Weezer, The Shins, Spoon, Outkast. I don't know. I've just been kind of like going back to what I listened to when I grew up, which has been fun.
You mentioned you were playing music with your father. You grew up in a very musical household. Was it always a given that music was going to be kind of your direction in life?
Yeah, my dad was in punk bands like all throughout me growing up. So as a kid, just observing that whole culture, like I would wake up and there would be a band who was touring Sir Phoenix, like crashing in my living room, and I would like be like 5 years old having my cereal in the morning with these like punk rockers, whatever, like on tour. So I was obsessed with the vibe of it all. And we had a band room in the house, so I naturally just gravitated towards piano and guitar and messed around on the drums. And like, yeah, I don't think there was ever really another option for me. Like, since before I could remember, music and singing was the only thing I ever wanted to do and the only thing I was like good at all. So yeah, I mean, like my parents put me in this dope performing arts school when I was 10, and I graduated high school from there and then full sent it to LA. Like there was never another option for me besides music, which is cool, but.
Who were some of your early songwriting influences?
Definitely Weezer and The Shins from like a songwriting perspective. Like Weezer to me is like iconic as far as like pop writing goes. And as far as just like looking up to artists, like Gwen Stefani was kind of that person for me. I think it was so rad to have just this badass woman front leading a band. Like it was amazing. It was really inspiring as a kid to like watch her.
Do you remember the first song you ever wrote?
Yes, and it is probably somewhere out on the internet still. It's called Disturbance, and it's so emo. I think I was like 12 and wrote this very disturbing, like really sad, depressing song, but I was a very happy kid, so my parents were like, "What's going on?" And then I like went and recorded it in the studio and like made an album when I was 13 and like dropped it and did the whole thing. It was so fun. But I look back and I'm like, this is so cringy. But it was a part of me growing up, so still very close to me, yeah.
You've spoken very highly about drugs, the song, not the substance. You're a big fan of drugs.
Yes.
Tell me about that. No, you said that the song you've written, Drugs, which you wrote with Sean Kennedy, is one of your favorite songs you've ever put out. What is it about that song that really makes it special to you?
I honestly don't know. I just remember the day we were making it in the studio, which is now like over 2 years ago now, which is crazy. There was just this moment where we were like, this song is so special. This is dope. And that energy was so exciting. Like, I actually the other day was going back into my voice notes from the day we wrote it, hearing us like come up in real time with the I just came into the party for the drugs. And that like made me so excited. Just like watching the idea kind of like get birthed was really exciting. And I think it's true. Like, the song's been out for 2 years. And I think because it's so special to me, it continues to have these like second and third little lives over the years, which is it's been dope because the song means so much to me. So it's been cool that more people are getting to hear it for
And I
sure.
gotta ask you about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Amazing song, amazing title. You were saying that you worked a long time on getting that song right. It went through a bunch of different incarnations. Is that right?
Yeah, I one day came up with a title and I was like, that's clever, that's funny. And so I just started bringing it into a bunch of sessions with people. And I think for a while I was overthinking it and trying to make the rest of the song too clever and like songwriting. And then I honestly was about to give up on it. I was like, maybe it's just not meant to be. I've tried it so many times, it's not working. Then I was in a session with Rick Knowles, who is like an iconic, legendary producer and writer that I was just like so honored to even be in the room with him. And I was like, I'll try this again. Like, maybe this title will work. And we wrote the song in like 30 minutes, recorded the song in those 30 minutes, and like that's the version that we put out. Like, it just was so natural and it happened so easily, which I think is how most songs should happen. But yeah, it was just this moment that just kind of clicked and we just made it happen. It was fun.
And this is a question coming from someone who, if you put a gun to my head, I would not be able to write a song. I wish I could. To me, it's still like magic. I don't understand how people do it. You've been doing it since you were a kid, almost, you know, almost 10 years now. How does one improve as a songwriter? What do you get better at? Is it learning the craft of, okay, maybe this bridge should be a little shorter? Is it learning how to write a better, craft a better hook? I'm always just curious, like, how does one improve as a songwriter? What does that mean to you, improving as a songwriter?
I think it happens for me. I feel like it has happened naturally just through working with other songwriters and just kind of observing and learning from them. And I think like when I started doing sessions 3 years ago and moved to LA, I had only ever written songs like alone in my room and thought they sounded cool, but didn't really know that there were some like little rules that you can like follow in songwriting that where if you go listen to like all the songs Max Martin wrote, like the chorus and the verse and the pre, like all start on different parts of the measure and like certain ranges that like you, if the verse is here in this low range and the pre is a little higher than the chorus, it needs to be even higher. Like just little things that I never knew before getting in the room with other writers. And I was like, oh, like that's why pop songs are so dope. There's like this little formula you can kind of follow. And then just through that, I've just kind of like taken in as much information as I could and tried to like apply it to my own writing. But I'm still learning. It's been cool being able to write like so much over Zoom too. I feel like I've learned a lot about songwriting just like in the past year for sure.
I've been loving the stripped down videos where you go piece by piece and kind of build the song layer by layer. How did you start putting those together?
How did I? I think, yeah, that was a result of quarantine boredom. One night I got drunk at my parents' house in the band room and just started trying to piece the song together from like and loop it and make it happen. Yeah. And then I was up until like 5 a.m, like I kind of like got my mind set on it and I was like, I'm not going to sleep until I get this video filmed. I feel like this would be so sick. Yeah, just like started with the drum loop and then added just whatever the different layers of the songs were. And now it's like my thing that I love to do for every song I put out. It's so fun.
It's just so amazing just to watch you go from instrument to instrument to instrument and just be a one-woman band. Is there an instrument that's your go-to? I mean, do you write always on the guitar or always write on the piano? Do you have a favorite?
I feel like it's a toss-up between guitar and piano. Piano is kind of like the instrument I feel most natural on, but guitar is way more convenient because you can just like pick, like I don't have an actual piano in my house in LA. I just have like keyboards, so I think I do most of my songwriting on guitar, which is fun, and mostly like on stage I'll play guitar or bass too, so it makes sense. But yeah, I don't know, I feel like if I am just like playing an instrument like for myself, it would definitely be piano for sure.
I have to say, I've seen you play bass and sing on stage at the same time. I don't know how you do that. I play bass myself. It's like I can't, it's like the patting the head and rubbing the stomach thing. I don't have the coordination to sing and play at the same time. That's amazing.
Yeah, that same. It's very difficult. I think that's like been the hardest thing to learn in the past few years is learning how to play the bass. I was in the middle of touring and I finally, one day, Fender sent me this bass that was like, I was obsessed with, but I was like, I don't really know how to play bass, but I know how to play guitar. I'll figure it out. There's bass in my songs. And then yeah, the trying to play it and sing at the same time took me a minute, but now it's so fun. I love playing bass live. It's very fun.
Well, in addition to your stripped down YouTube videos, like a lot of us during quarantine, you've gotten really into TikTok. Unlike a lot of people, you've made some really amazing songs using other people's vocals, like Lizzo's, for example. How did you start doing that?
Another quarantine boredom moment. Yeah, I just remember one day there was this viral video of this person just kind of ranting about life, and I around the house would kind of just like sing it or like make fun of it or whatever with my friends. We would all just quote it all the time, and then finally I realized, I was like, oh, this has like a little rhythm to it. Like if you listen, there's a beat behind this that like they're kind of talking in like song form or whatever. And so then I turned it into a song, and now anytime I see somebody like ranting and it has any sort of rhythmic vibe to it, I turn it into a song. It's very fun. It's a good way to pass the time in quarantine for sure.
I'm gonna say, I mean, some people make like banana bread, and then you not only make an EP but make music out of just other people's conversation. It's incredible.
It's fun. The Lizzo thing was fun too, because when I saw that, I was like, this is a no-brainer. I have to do this. This is perfect. And then, yeah, like Lizzo saw it, which was crazy because I'm a huge fan of her. But then I had to take it a step further when I was drunk on Zoom with a producer that I love. There's a trend here. And I was like, we need to actually make this a real song, and I want to drop it on SoundCloud. So we turned it into like a full song, which is the first time I've ever turned one of my TikToks into like a real song. But it was fun. I've been loving the TikTok game right now. It's very, very exciting.
I have a very crucial question to ask you before I let you go. Sushi is one of my favorite things on the planet. My dad's been taking me since I was probably 6 years old. I know you are also a big sushi fan. Where are some of your favorite sushi places to go? I know you're in LA or live in LA, which is, you know, sushi mecca of the United States.
Yes, that's amazing. It's so hard to find people that love sushi as much as me. Like, I'm obsessed with it. That's very dope.
I would have it every day of my life.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's the every day I wake up and I'm like having to fight the urge to not get sushi again. Like, it's really bad. I'm pretty basic though. Like, Sugarfish in LA is kind of my go-to because they never miss. Like, it's never not good. But I do want to go to, I hear Sushi Park is very good out here. I don't know. But Sugarfish has been my quarantine go-to for sure.
Same. There's one, two that just opened in New York, and that's been like when I'm getting them to go. It's not quite as good as getting it when you're there, but still pretty good.
It's not the same, but it'll do for now. I can't wait to actually sit down, though, and eat at Sugarfish when it's allowed again. It'll be iconic. I'm very excited.
Well, that leads into my last question. When we've been doing these episodes, these kind of lockdown episodes, I always end with this. Aside from going to Sugarfish, if you could snap your fingers and have everything go back to normal, whatever your definition of normal is, what would be the first thing that you would do? People you'd hug, places you'd go?
Oh, I was going to say go play a live show, but then you said people you hug, and I was like, am I a bad person?
I'm not trying to guilt you. No.
I think...
forget I said
no,
that.
No, I think... Yeah, hugging is something I definitely do miss. It's weird that it's like rude now. If you see someone going for a hug, they're like back up, which is, it's so strange. But I think I would definitely like book a live show and make it like, because I think about the last actual live show I had and it makes me so sad that that hasn't happened for a year now. So yeah, I think playing a live show would be the very first thing that I would make happen.
I'll get you back out there soon. Upsal, thank you so, so much for your time today. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. This is very fun.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio or other fantastic shows, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.